Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
Welcome to our program. We are studying together a series of lessons entitled Basic Facts of the Faith. We have a website that also has this material on it in written form. And so if you will go to our website, www.tftw.org, you will find a link for the Basic Facts of the Faith series. And we hope that you will take advantage of that material as well as many other things that we have on our website. We hope that you'll do that today. We're studying about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and we're looking at reasons why we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We've noted together that we believe that Jesus is the Christ because He is eternal. He existed before He came to this earth. We believe He is the Christ because of His virgin birth. He had an earthly mother, but not an earthly father. We believe in His deity because of the fulfilled prophecies of the more than 300 prophecies made concerning the coming Christ. Jesus fulfilled all of them. Also, Jesus lived a sinless life. While on the earth, He did no sin, even though He was tempted in all points, like as we are. All of these things point out the reasons we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Last week we began the fifth reason that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that was the miracles that He performed. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." We pointed out together that Jesus performed miracles to prove His words were true. He was coming, speaking new revelation, and so there had to be proof that what He said came from God. That was true in the Old Testament with Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. Now today, some people say they have the same power that Jesus and the apostles had, but they do not do the same miracles Jesus did. Jesus never took money for doing His miracles, but people today who claim this power are always asking for money. We hear of these people allegedly healing the sick, but nothing else. Jesus and His apostles did not just heal the sick. They also raised the dead and fed the hungry. We never hear of these so-called miracle workers feeding the hungry. People are starving every day. These so-called miracle workers should use their power to feed the starving people in Africa and India with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, like Jesus did. But instead, they ask people to send money to feed the hungry. They do not have the power to perform miracles. Jesus stopped the storm, and yet in the world where we have hurricanes and typhoons and tsunamis, you never hear of any of these so-called miracle workers going and stopping a hurricane or a typhoon. Or you never hear about them stopping a tidal wave. Jesus could stop the storm. Jesus could walk on the surface of the sea. But you never hear about anybody doing that today. Oh yes, they claim to heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick, and heal the sick. And the sickness they heal is not something that you can see or verify. But it was very clear in Jesus' day that he healed people that were sick. Everybody knew that person was sick. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. Yes, Jesus performed miracles to prove that his words were true, to prove this new revelation was from God. The power to perform miracles stopped in the first century after the New Testament was finished. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. The perfect here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10 refers to the final and complete revelation of God, the New Testament. It does not refer to the second coming of Christ. If the perfect that comes is Christ in his second coming, then who is the part that Paul talks about? Paul's not talking about part of a person. He's talking about the imperfect method of giving information before the final revelation was given, as it's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. What happened? It was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Confirmed is something that has already taken place. And then in Jude 3, Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith, the system of faith, the final revelation of God was once for all delivered to the saints. And we now have that in the New Testament. In the first century, Christians could receive the power to do miracles if it was given to them by the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the apostles of Christ received the Holy Spirit come down from heaven. But other Christians, in order to receive the power to perform miracles, had to have their hands, the apostles' hands, laid upon them. And if they did not have that, then they were not able to perform miracles. In Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. Philip could perform miracles because the apostles had laid their hands upon him, as recorded in Acts chapter 6. But Philip could not lay his hands upon the Christians in Samaria. He did not have the power to do that. Instead, Peter and John had to come from Jerusalem. They were apostles. And they then laid their hands upon the Christians in Samaria to give them the power to perform miracles. When the last apostle died, then there was no longer anyone to lay hands upon Christians to give them the power to perform miracles. God does not use miracles today. There is no new revelation to be confirmed. It has already been confirmed. It has already been given or delivered once for all to the saints. The Bible is all we need. Jesus proved he was the Christ by the miracles he performed. And his enemies knew his miracles were real. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Bible says, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. John 11 and verse 47. And so we learn in our lesson today that Jesus proves that he is the Christ, the Son of God, because of the miracles that he performed. Please remember the purpose of miracles. The purpose of miracles in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, was to confirm new revelation. Moses had to prove to Pharaoh and to Israel that God had sent him. And so Moses could perform miracles to confirm that new revelation. Elijah and Elisha performed miracles to prove to Israel that God had sent them to deliver his message. That Old Testament was finished, confirmed, and written about 400 years before Jesus came to the earth. Jesus did not come to confirm the Old Testament. That had already been done. He came to confirm new revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we must believe in him and obey his will in order to go to heaven. In our next lesson, we will continue looking at reasons why we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We'll talk about the fact that others bore witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And also we'll talk about the death, burial, and his resurrection. We hope that you'll plan to be with us as we continue to study our lesson concerning basic facts of the faith. We'll look forward to seeing you then.